thank you for this day, the Lord's day you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to gather together once again. We ask you now, Lord, to be with us during this time. We ask you, Lord, to be with those that are here. Lord, I just pray that the word that is read, the word that is spoken today, Lord, will be exactly what we need. But we know your word, Lord, is what we need every day in our life. And God, we just need to learn to practice, Lord, what we learn from your word. And God, I pray you'd help us now. Bless your people that are here. Bless those that are not able to come today because of the weather, because of other reasons. I pray you watch over them, Lord, and help them with their needs that they have, those that are sick especially, Lord, today. Spirit of God, now would you lead us? Would you guide us today in all we say and all we do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 10. When I became a Christian, when you became a Christian, I didn't know very little. I knew very little about the Bible. I didn't really know that I was to learn the Bible and to obey the Bible at that point. I've been taught about Jesus. I knew who Jesus was and why Jesus came and all that. And I knew what I needed to do to be saved. But that's basically what I knew when I got saved. From that time on, God has been teaching me through teachers, through men and women of God, and teaching me a lot of things that God wants me to do as a Christian. God wants us to do many things as a Christian. Number one, he wants us to grow. He don't want us to stay a babe in Christ, amen? He wants us to grow in the Lord and know what his word teaches and then obey his word, whatever it is. And as we grow in the Lord and we again begin to listen more carefully now since we are saved to the word of God and the Spirit of God that indwells us as he tries to instruct us as what we ought to be doing as a Christian. We find that we are to be doing many things. We ought to be reading our Bible. We ought to be praying. We ought to be going faithfully to God's house. All these things are important. And you know, it takes time in a person's life, maybe that hasn't been doing that, to start doing those things that are necessary for us to grow in the Lord. If it's to read our Bible or to pray or to be faithful to God's house. These things are necessary that we grow, that enable us to grow in the Lord. And as we continue to grow in the Lord, there are more things that we hear and read about and are taught from the Bible that we ought to be doing. It can be tithing. It can be a number of things in the Scripture as it teaches us. I know one of the hardest things that I know me myself, had to be taught was this thing about tithing. Tithing. You know, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that. How can I take 10% of what I make and give to God and make it? I don't know how it's going to work. You know? It's a thing by faith that we learn. We learn it by faith. So what I'm saying is, this is another thing we had to learn. I had to learn to read my Bible. It's important that I read my Bible every day. It's important that I pray every day. And the hope of the older I get in the Lord, the more I realize these things are important to me. They become more important to me as I grow in the Lord. So there are many areas in our life that we have to learn to do. And I mean learn to do, we have to realize that's important for us to do. I should put it that way. If we're going to grow in the Lord. And also, as we grow in the Lord, we have more responsibility. Because we know more. You know, the more we know, the more we're accountable for, right? In the Word of God. And so therefore, as we grow, we're more accountable to the Lord. And then we get into a lot more things that God teaches us in the Bible that we ought to be doing. Now, last Sunday we talked about witnessing. Witnessing. But the author's already hit it two or three times this morning. And you know, I want to talk about this month, the month of March, the importance of witnessing. Why is it so important to witness in our life? If there's an area in my life, and there's probably one in your life too, that I'm the weakest at in my life, is it my Bible reading? Is it my praying? Is it my giving? Is it being faithful to God's house? What area in your life, what area in my life is the weakest to me? Most of us will probably say the area of witnessing. Do you know the devil's going to fight you about reading your Bible? You know that, don't you? You sit down and read your Bible, what's going to happen? The phone's going to ring, or the doorbell's going to ring, or something's going to happen. You know? When you begin to pray, something's going to happen. When you begin to want to be faithful to God's house, something's going to happen. Brother Anderson, I can remember as I was growing up, my mom and dad were faithful to church. And I remember a couple occasions, not only count how a couple of times, because people in communities that we were living in, everybody knew everybody. But I remember a couple of times on Sunday afternoon, somebody would come to our house to visit us, maybe not necessarily living in the community, but just come to visit us. And on Sunday afternoon, about an hour before church time, if they were still there, my daddy would say to them, "Now listen, this is the way it is here. At such and such a time, we leave to go to church. Now you're welcome to stay as long as you want to stay, and you're welcome to go to church with us. But when it gets time to go to church, we're going to go to church." I mean, he was just that way. And I thank God he was that way, you know. But he was faithful to church. But sometimes we can be hindered to not be there. Now I realize today a lot of people are not here because of the weather. I'm not condemning anybody. But I'm saying these things are in our life that we can handle. We can handle being faithful to church. We can handle reading our Bible and it not bother us so much, and maybe praying, these kind of things. But when it comes to this thing of witnessing, being a witness, going up to a door and knocking on a door, this is the thing that gets down here, folks. This tests how strong you really are in the Lord. And I realize if it's reading my Bible, if it's praying, if it's whatever it is I'm doing for the Lord, except for the Holy Spirit indwelling me and giving me the power and the wisdom to do it, I can't do any of it. Not any of it. I won't have that desire to do any of it. Okay? But I'm saying there are things in our life, there are areas in our life as a Christian that we all are weak at. We're all weak at. And we need to pray and ask God to help us, to give us strength and wisdom to be able to do it. And one of these things that I face in my life is this thing about witnessing. Witnessing. Not knowing who you're going to talk to when those doors open. There's a sense of fear. There's a sense of question. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? You know, when these people come and confront me. We've had people ask us all kinds of, "What can I do for y'all today?" I mean, all kinds of things people ask you, you know. And only by the grace of God and by the help of the Holy Spirit can you have an answer. And yet sometimes you give an answer and sometimes you walk away and say, you know, that wasn't the right answer. You know, you question yourself, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why didn't I do something else, you know? That's fear. That causes us to doubt this thing of witnessing. And, you know, it's been said that probably less than 10% of every church, people that come to church, less than 10% of the people that go to church faithfully witness. 10%. That's 1 out of 10. You know? And that's probably true. On a consistent basis, do they go out and witness to people? Now, why are we allowing, why are we now allowing this thing of witnessing to cause us not to do it? Why are we allowing the world to hinder us from witnessing? There's got to be something going on, folks. Now, what is it? Why don't we witness the way we should? Help me out, class. We're small today. Why don't we go out and witness like we should? Tell me.
One reason it turns people off.
It turns people off?
When you approach them about a religion, right. A lot of people get turned off to it and walk away.
Right. I agree they do. Okay. Anything else? Yes. We're lazy, okay? We are, folks. Listen, she's right. We're lazy in doing what we ought to do. I mean, God has given us a command, hasn't he? To go and to tell. Yes. And we sometimes had rather stay home and do something else or go somewhere else rather than go out and witness for the Lord, you see. And, you know, sometimes, like you said, we're afraid of turning people off. We are sometimes. But we've got to realize, too, though, most of the people that we go out and witness to, I'm talking about family now. I'm talking about other people in the world that we go out and witness to. How many times are you going to see them in your life? One time. Probably one time. You go one time and visit them, and you'll never go back to that house. You'll never see them again. You know. So what I'm saying is, that one time that you have is that one opportunity that God gives you to share your testimony with them about the Lord and how God loves them. You know, it's a hard thing for me to understand why people turn away people that are trying to tell them that somebody loves them. Especially Jesus loves you. He died for you. Why would that turn somebody away? It does. It does. I understand it does. But why should it? When we're just trying to share with them how somebody loves them. Now, when it comes to convincing them that they're sinners, that's a different thing. That will turn people away. Because most people today are not sinners. You know, they're not lost. You know. But this thing of witnessing, it's an area in my life and our lives as Christians, I'm afraid that we've got to the point we're afraid to do it. We're afraid the law is going to stop us. You know, we're afraid somebody's going to call the law on us. All kinds of things are entering our minds today when we go out to witness, to try to stop us. Try to stop us. Now, the question is, what are we going to do about it? What we're going to do about it is children of God. Paul says we're going to obey God rather than man. Amen? We're going to be accountable, folks. We're going to be accountable to God for those people that we have the opportunity to witness to and we don't. I believe that with all my heart. Their blood's going to be on my hands if I don't share the gospel with them when I have the opportunity. And sometimes I have to, you know, God opens the door and I've got to step in it. I've got to step through it, you know, by being faithful and doing what I ought to do for God. So what I'm saying today is we look at this thing of witnessing, the importance of it. Last Sunday we talked about witnessing. This month we're going to continue and we're going to talk about the importance of witnessing. Why should we witness? Why should we witness? Now, all of you know it's because people are lost, people need to be saved. Okay? That's the main, that's the goal of it. But why? Why? What's hindering us? What's keeping us from witnessing? Every day of our life, we have an opportunity. I dare say, there's not a one of us that don't have an opportunity at least one time a day to witness to somebody. I don't mean sit down and talk with them 30 minutes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about giving them a tract. Hey, would you read this, please, sometime? It'll help you to understand who you are or something. Something like this. I want us to, as a class, I want to ask you to do something. This month is March. I want us to make a commitment to pray for one another that God would give us the strength, the wisdom, the energy, the power that we need to be a more effective witness. Now, I'm going to have some tracts out here on these tables for you. Pass out. We've got the Romans Road. We've got some more tracts out here we're going to put out here for us to use when we go out witnessing. And I want us to pray, and I want us to ask God to help all of us to be the witness that He wants us to be this month. If all of us will pray for one another, if all of us will do what God wants us to do, folks, listen, I believe this on my heart. We're going to see some people walk down now and get saved. We're going to see some people out there who we're going to witness is going to get saved. But if we don't do this, we're going to still be like we are. Are we satisfied the way we are? I'm not. I like to see people get saved, don't you? I like to see people walk down the aisles, you know, and join the church. But we're going to have, listen, it's like Sister, like she said, sometimes we become complacent, satisfied where I am. Don't bother me, okay? I'm in my zone and leave me alone. You know? We can't be like that, folks. Listen, time is running out. Time is running out. The Lord's going to come. And I want to be found faithful in doing the things that I know He wants me to do. When He comes, we have been given divine authority to tell others about the Savior. All of us have. What are you doing out here? I'm on the King's business. Amen? I'm doing what my Lord wants me to do. He wants me to tell you some good news. Okay? That's Jesus loves you. He died for you. It's very important that we do this. Now, I want to notice, back in Romans chapter 10, where last week, just review a little bit here, and then we'll get into maybe something a little bit different today. But we talked about last week, there are some things that are necessary for a person to be saved. We find it here in Romans chapter 10. There are four things necessary for a person to be saved. In Romans chapter 10, look at verse number 13. Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we see here, first of all, in order for somebody to be saved, there has to be somebody what? Lost. Somebody has to be lost. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. An individual that is lost, if they call on the Lord, they can be saved. Amen? So first of all, there has to be a lost sinner. A lost sinner. Now look at verse number 14. The Bible says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? A preacher means literally a witness. It's a witness. So we see the second thing that is necessary for people to be saved is who? A soul winner. A witness. A witness. There has to be a lost person. There has to be a soul winner or a witness in order for somebody to be saved. Okay? Now, look at number 3. Look at verse number 15. And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news, good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias says, Lord, who has believed our report? We see number 3, there has to be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I said last week, and I'll say it again, if the Holy Spirit of God is not leading us and guiding us, where we go, what we say, we're in vain what we do. See, it's the power of God that does anything. It's the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Our strength comes from the indwelling Spirit of God. He gives us power and makes us able to do what we do. We can't do it on our own. He gives us that power. He speaks through us as we yield to Him in trying to talk to somebody about the Lord. See, He gives us the wisdom that we need. Folks, we need wisdom this day and time to talk to people about the Lord. You know that? Because people have all the answers. They've heard the vocabulary of the Christian for many years. They know all the words. They know what we're saying, as far as the words are concerned, but they don't know it inside. So we need wisdom. We need wisdom from God to be a witness for the Lord. So we see here, there has to be the lost sinner, there has to be the soul winner, there has to be the Holy Spirit. And verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. There has to be the Word of God. So these things are necessary for a person to be saved. Number 1 is what? Lost sinner. Number 2 is who? Soul winner. Number 3 is the Holy Spirit. Number 4 is the Bible, the Word of God. See, I can go out here and share my testimony with somebody and they might be saved, but chances are they won't. It takes the Word of God, because the Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word of God is convicting. The Word of God brings something upon a person that we cannot bring ourselves, to help them to see their need. See, we can't sometimes help people to see their needs, but God's Word can. We had a phone call a couple weeks ago from a guy that works out here at Caterpillar. He has a friend that lives here in Clayton and wanted somebody from the church to go out and visit with him. He's lost. He needs to be saved. He said he was right at the point of being saved, he says. And I want somebody to try to go. You know, I've been trying for 2 weeks to go out there. He's never home. I've called him. I can't get up with him. He's never home. See, that's just like Satan works sometimes. But am I going to give up on him? No, I'm not going to give up on him. See? I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep knocking on, trying, calling him and trying to go by and see him once in a while. To see, just make an opportunity to go see him. See, we've been given a responsibility to go visit that man. And I feel like it's up to me to go, or someone, get somebody else, Brian or someone, to go with me or whatever, to go and to visit this man. We've got to make a contact somehow, because this has been put on our plate, so to speak, and it's our responsibility to do that. I feel that, you see, and you know, we have neighbors, we have friends that we know that are lost. But what are we doing to try to reach them? What are we doing to try to win them to Christ? See. Witnessing is so important in our lives as children of God. So we see then the things that are necessary for a person to be saved. First of all, that individual's got to get lost. And if they don't get lost, they'll never get saved. I was witnessing to a person last year in the hospital, a lady dying with cancer. And she knew she didn't have much longer to live. And I presented the gospel to her, and she says, I believe that God loves me. And I believe that God's going to take me to heaven anyway. How sad it was to know that. I said to her, so I called her by name. I said, there's one thing that you have failed to realize, and that is that you're lost. I didn't see my need to get saved until I realized I was lost. Nobody does. I'm afraid sometimes I have led people in prayer, the sinner's prayer, and they prayed the sinner's prayer. And when they finished the sinner's prayer, they were still lost because they didn't realize they were lost before they prayed it. They didn't realize it. And I've not seen evidence in their life of coming to church or doing anything, you know, different from what they're doing. See, it's something they did to satisfy me or to get me, quote, off their backs. See, but there has to be a lost person in order for them to get saved. If they don't realize they're lost, they'll never get saved. It's impossible to get saved without being lost, folks. And without acknowledging that you're lost. There has to be the soul winner. There has to be the Holy Spirit. And there has to be the Bible, the Word of God. Yes, Jesus has clearly commanded that we are to take the gospel to every creature. Every creature. It's our responsibility. And we see also, because of the reality of knowing that God loved me so much that he died for me, that should motivate me to want to tell people about Jesus. What he's done for me, folks, means more to me than it means to you. But what he's done for you means more to you than it does to me. Because we're the individuals, you see. And therefore, we need to realize that. Think about it a minute. People without Christ, what about their conditions today? You know people, I know people too, that are lost. They're without Christ, folks. They're empty, aren't they? They're literally empty in their souls. They're empty. We know that they're without purpose. They don't have a purpose really in life. They don't have no direction in their life as a lost person. As a lost person. They're afraid of death. They're afraid to die. They may say, I'm not afraid, but they are. In reality, they're afraid to die. We see they're without peace, they're lonely. And the list goes on and on and on of people that are lost, their conditions and what they are. But because we know Christ is our Savior, folks, we're indebted to those people. We're indebted to those people that are lost. Turn with me to Romans, back to chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse number 14. Romans 1:14, Paul says, I am indebted both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God to salvation to everyone that what? Believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to spread the gospel. I'm going to tell the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. God help us not to be ashamed. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's why I'm saved. That's why you're saved. Because of the gospel. We're not to be ashamed of the gospel. We're to be ready. James tells us in James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is what? It's sin. If we know we're to tell the gospel and we don't do it, we're sinning, folks. We're sinning not against myself, but against God. We're sinning against God. We have an awesome responsibility as a Christian to tell people about Jesus. Awesome responsibility. Do you think God will give you a responsibility or me a responsibility as his child by not providing for us what's necessary for us to do it? I don't think he would. I think he's ready and willing to give us what we need in order to be a witness. But we had to pray. We had to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the power to do what we need to do. That's why we need to pray for one another. We really need to pray for one another. May the Lord help us today as we look at this thing about witnessing. On the day of Pentecost, because on the day of Pentecost, 120 people witnessed, thousands got saved. On the day of Pentecost, 120 people went out witnessing. Can you imagine what it'd be like? We'll get 120 people in our church to go visiting, soul winning. Boy, that would be something, wouldn't it? We get maybe 18 to 20 commitments every week to go visiting. I can't imagine what it would be like to get 120 people to go out visiting every week, knocking on doors. I believe this building would be full of people on Sunday morning. I really do. I believe we'd have standing room only if we do that. We really would. This building couldn't hold the people if 120 people in this church would go out witnessing, visiting. I mean sincerely, not just casually visiting, socializing, but witnessing, talking to people about the Lord. Because of that, we see what happened. We see the eunuch was saved because who witnessed? Philip. He witnessed. I'm trying to show it myself and remind myself and you that people are saved because somebody witnessed. Somebody witnessed. People do not get saved, folks, by themselves. It doesn't happen. It's not God's plan. See, it's God's plan for us as his children to witness to people. To witness to people, you see. Paul was saved, no doubt, because Stephen helped his witness. Paul saw Stephen, what happened to him. And man, it brought conviction upon him. No doubt he was saved because of that. He was saved because of the witness of Stephen. We see Cornelius and his house was saved. Why? Because Peter witnessed. Peter witnessed. Cornelius and his whole house got saved because of the witness of Peter. We see the Philippian jailer got saved. Why? Because Paul and Silas, they witnessed. Remember they sang songs in the midnight. I don't know what they sang, but they sang a song that convicted some people and they got saved because of the witness. The Philippian jailer got saved because of a witness. Because of a witness. A witness is so important. Remember Jesus at the well and Samaritan woman came up? What happened to that woman? She got saved, didn't she? She got glory to say. Why? Because Jesus witnessed. Jesus witnessed to that woman and she got saved. What did she do? She went to the town and what? She witnessed. Come see a man that showed me all things about me. You know, I mean, man, she was excited. She was excited about what happened to her. Reminds me of a story of a young man who got saved in a church years ago. I mean, he'd been coming to church there for a while. He got gloriously saved on Sunday. Monday morning, he come to the preacher's office. So, preacher, I'm so excited. I got saved yesterday, and I can't understand it. You know, I'm so excited. Preacher, I need to do something for the Lord. What can I do? I want to do something for the Lord. And the preacher, he thought a minute, you know, and says, okay, called him by name. This is what I want you to do this week. He says, I want you to go out there in the auditorium. You know, there's books scattered everywhere, and there should be a book in the back of the seats, you know, for people to sing with. Go out there and straighten all the books out, get all the trash up and all that this week. Do it this week. You can do that for the Lord. He said, okay, I'll do that. He went out and did it that week. Next Sunday, after church, he went up to the preacher. Preacher, listen, I don't mind doing what you asked me to do, but this is just not enough. I got to do something else. I'm so excited about what happened to me. God saved me. I'm no longer, you know, I've been saved now, and I want to do something for my Lord. So the preacher says, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to come up here tomorrow morning, on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. Come to church at 10 o'clock, and I'll have something for you to do. He says, okay. Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock, he was there. He was there at 9:30. He was waiting for what the preacher wanted him to do. And the preacher was planning all this. He had one of his best soul winners in his church to meet him there at 10 o'clock. So he got there at the church, and there was a preacher, and the preacher introduced him to this guy. He said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go out soul winning with this guy. He said, what's soul winning? He said, that's trying to help other people see that they need to be saved like you've done. He said, how do I do that? He said, you just give a testimony. That's all you do. Okay? So this guy took this guy that got saved and went out visiting. He went out visiting that week, and the guy, he just followed on and listened to everything that guy was saying, you know, and he was so excited about how this guy was presenting the Word of God, and he was so excited about that. So next week come, he wanted to go again. He run that guy down, hey, can I go next week? I want to go soul winning with you. I want to go visiting with you. He said, yes, come on, go with me, you know. And so Tuesday morning, they met again and went out. And when it went about two doors, this guy began to talk to me about the Lord, you know, and all that. They went to the next door. He stepped up on the porch, and the soul winner looked over to this guy, just got straight reason, and said, okay, this is your turn. This is your turn. The guy rang the doorbell. The guy come to the door, and the guy was kind of, you know, like we all are. What I say, what I do, you know. I've been listening all this time what this guy was doing, how he was saying all this, but now what do I do? What do I do? You know. And it rang a bell in the young man's life. What the preacher told him, just give your testimony. Just give your testimony. He gave his testimony to that person that was at the door. You know? And they invited him in, and the guy that took the guy's soul winning had an opportunity, both of them, to lead this person to Christ. Man, that guy was excited more. He come back, you know, come back to the church. He said, where's the preacher? Where's the preacher? Where's the preacher? He said, well, I want to see the preacher. Where's the preacher at? Finally, he got found where the preacher was in his office, and he went to the door, knocked on the door. The guy walked in, it's a preacher. He said, yes. He said, I found it. I found what I want to do. Soul win. You know, that's the most important thing we can do, folks. Witnessing for the Lord. May the Lord. Have you ever led anybody to Christ? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever led anybody to Christ? It's impossible, but it's almost like being saved again, isn't it? I mean, it's exciting when you lead people to Christ and know that they're saved. And you know, I'm so glad that God's given us an opportunity to do that. He's given us an opportunity, and may the Lord help us to be busy doing that. The lost cannot be saved, folks, listen, without a witness. The lost cannot be saved without a witness. What is a witness? It's evidence, a testimony of what God has done for you. What God has done for you. I never forget when I got saved, my pastor wanted me to go visit with him. I was scared to death. I mean, I was scared to death. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? Of course, there for a while, you know, he always did it, you know, for a while. And then when it was my turn, I was shaking like a leaf, trying to fumble and stumble, you know, and I still fumble and stumble, by the way. No matter how long you do it, you're going to keep on doing that until Jesus takes us home. But you know, it's a joy to try. It's a joy to try. Next Sunday, we're going to continue with this thing about witnessing and how it's so necessary. And we're going to look at an example of the Lord Jesus and how he was a witness in many occasions in the Word of God. And if our Savior was a witness, how much more should we be? How much more should we be? Listen, folks, I'm not talking about this to make you feel bad or make me feel bad. I'm trying to talk to us about this to encourage us, okay? Because we need to be doing it, folks. We need to be doing it. If this, any church that's growing is a soul-winning church. Is a soul-winning church. I'll promise you that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for this day, the time you've given us. We thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we go through this next few weeks on this subject, Lord, of witnessing, Lord, that you would help us to grow. Help us, Lord, to get excited, Lord, about what the opportunity you've given us to share this good news with people that we come in contact with. Lord, bless your people this week. Lord, help us to pray for one another, that God will give us the power to be the witness that you would have us to be. And God, help us to see the evidence, Lord, that we'll pray for one another, Lord, and we're doing, Lord, what you, we know we should be doing for you. Be with the next service. Bless our preacher. Give him the words to say. Give him power. Give him health and strength, Lord. Bless the singing. May all this done bring honor to you in Jesus' name. Amen.